Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Stuck on my hand. Said, Scott Gorham, how are you?
Everyone, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode. Folks, here's a quick intro into part three of our Thin Lizzy series with Joe Fleischer. There's going to be some great stories in this. You're going to hear about Joe's planned trip, and we're going to talk a little bit about what happened after Thin Lizzy. And you'll hear this episode start off with me basically asking Joe, for those who are uninitiated, where would you start? What is the Thin Lizzy music to get you into Thin Lizzy? So with that, and without any further ado, let's hear part three of our Thin Lizzy series with Joe Fleischer on Rockin' the Suburbs. But what would you say, Joe, would be a place for people to start if they're, let's say, only familiar with a couple of Thin Lizzy songs or maybe some stuff you would hear on FM radio back in the day? Would you consider, like, Live and Dangerous to be the place to start?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's the songs are very varied. There's the, you know, the rockers as well as the more romantic ballads. And it's the best, probably the best songs of their catalog, excepting a few. And any of the live records are good. In fact, there's a record store day coming up later this month. They're releasing Cleveland 1976 by Thin Lizzy, which I think it will be a good one. That'll be a double album.
That record also, folks, has one of the great, in my mind, cover shots you're ever gonna see, because it's got Phil right there, like, in the spotlight, and you can see the two guitar players behind him. And you know, it's all Phil right there with his bass. It's just awesome. I think it's really, really great. And that's a great choice. And, looking here on Discogs, as we chat, there are many affordable, options. So if you're a vinyl person or a CD, you can definitely pick it up for a very reasonable, price. In some cases, about a fourth of what it costs for a brand new album. So
I've never verified this myself, but they were also, Thin Lizzy was also on a couple of different labels over their period as a band, and mm-hmm. they also released a lot of singles that were not on albums.
Yes.
I think they may have more compilation records, there might be more Best of Thin Lizzy records than almost any other band. The only one I can think of that has more is the Rolling Stones. And I think the reason for that is it's the perfect Father's Day gift. It's the greatest hits Thin Lizzy album because your dad is going to love it. I mean, and having that collection of songs. There are dozens and dozens of compilations you can find out there, especially on CD.
Yeah, absolutely. Scour those $2.99 bins or $1.99 bins, folks. You may come across several. And I don't know if cars still have CD players in them, but to go back to what you said at the beginning, I love Thin Lizzy are like one of the great roll down the windows driving in your car in the spring or summer bands of all time. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's great music to listen to in the car. It really is. Okay. So, after the final tour in 1983, Phil tried to form another group, right?
Yeah. It was called, Grand Slam, and it had, I think still the drummer, Brian Downey, and a couple of new guys, kind of up and coming guitar players. But they played gigs all over. But I think that band struggled to get a record contract because of yeah, at this point, 83, 84, he was, his personal troubles, he had been arrested a couple times.
Yeah.
Minor arrests, I would say, but it had been arrested and kind of, yeah, the record companies did not want to touch him at that point. So, and then another thing, and I meant to talk about this earlier, at Live Aid, of course, among Bill's many friends in Dublin were, well, he helped, U2 early on. I think the bass player of U2 would go and talk to him and Thin Lizzy even, and Phil even helped them get a gig or two early on. And, and Bob Geldof was another friend. So when Live Aid happened in 1985, he was not, Thin Lizzy did not reunite for it, or they weren't invited to play because I think for the same reasons that they didn't get a record contract around that time, that he did. And it was, yeah, it's sad. And, yeah. And a lot of the story is chronicled in an amazing book that his mother wrote, called My Boy, and his mother's name was Philomena Linnet. And the book is about the, the difficulty for her of being a unwed mother with a black child in very Catholic Ireland and England, and then the book goes on to chronicle what it was like to be the mother of a rock and roll star, and one that started to have some personal problems that she couldn't help with. So it's an amazing book.
That's got to be tremendously well, as we know as parents, I can only imagine, having that situation. But tell us about the time you actually met his mother.
We did. My wife and I. We went to a Thin Lizzy tribute show. It was probably a St. Patrick's Day thing at the Bottom Line in New York, and there was some up and coming Irish musicians playing, and some people who had played with Phil previously, and we got there early because I'm always anxious about time, and rock and roll never starts on time, and somebody I met there was talking to was like, you got to meet Phil's mother, and he brings her out, this sweet old Irish woman, and she sat down at her table, and we talked for a while, and of course remarked on the book, which was new at that time, and then she excused herself, and she came back a little later, and she signed a book for me, and then she asked me if I would send her book to Oprah Winfrey, because Oprah Winfrey's book club at that time, if you were on the book club, if you were named part of the book club, your book was a smash bestseller.
Yeah.
And her book had only been printed in the UK and in Ireland. And so she asked me to do that. And of course I was happy to do, I would have done anything she asked practically. And a while later, I never heard back from Oprah's people. But I did send her, I copied her on the, whatever I sent to Oprah, and she sent me, we got Christmas cards from her for a few years, she was a sweet old lady, and she was able to participate in some of the things that have happened fairly recently in the last 20 years. There was a statue of him erected in Dublin. Outside of one of his favorite bars, him, at 8 or 9 feet tall, Yeah, and she died in 2019, but she was amazing.
That's so cool. I mean, that really is. There is a book that I read that I think I talked about it on a book nook by the author Alan Jones. He wrote two books that are basically his memoirs in rock and roll as a journalist in Britain during the 70s and 80s. One is called Can't Stand Up for Falling Down, and the other one is Too Late to Stop Now. And in one of them, I can't remember which right now, but there is a story where he goes to her hotel or, gathering place, whatever you want to call it, and never makes it home that night. He ends up sleeping there with all the characters that were inside this place that he's talking about. A lot of people from the theater, as you mentioned and stuff. It's really a funny story. as the night gets blurrier and blurrier, he captures it in really great writing. But that's amazing. I wonder if Oprah ever got the book. I guess it never made a selection, but that's amazing. Of course, I bet Oprah was getting a lot of books at that time, probably. Everybody who published one. and that's really cool about the statue. We'll have to see if Liam McIndoe, who lives in Dublin, can take a photo for us and send it. Phil passed in 1986 at just 36 years old, which is so heartbreaking, from the complications from his drug and alcohol dependency. And you were mentioning these 8 CD box sets and all these expanded sets for different albums. That's amazing. And so I imagine, you know, I don't know what the impetus behind it was, and I don't know how much you know about this, but they must have recorded a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff live, as well as, you know, when they went into the studio, there must have been a great volume of stuff that they recorded, especially, you know, well, given they put out that many albums, but all this other stuff that's coming out, there was a lot that was in the archives.
Yeah, I think that, and there's rumors that there's, you know, a ton more unreleased stuff, although a lot of it I listened to and I realized that there was a reason it wasn't released in the first place. But when I was first getting into collecting, I would trade tapes with people. That was back in the tape trading period, and then CD bootleg CDs that you know, there's amazing numbers of those, including there's a 7 CD box set. It's a complete bootleg, but it's 7 CDs that came out over time and chronicle some of his unreleased recordings. You know, there's things like Huey Lewis was a friend of his, among the many, many what? Friends. So, yeah. Huey Lewis played in a band called Clover that toured with him maybe for a short time. And then when Huey Lewis blew up, Lynott went to San Francisco for at least a few days, and they recorded some songs together that have been unearthed, I think, on some bootlegs, but not so much other things. But there's another CD box set, 5 CDs that came out last year, and it collects outtakes and live recordings from 1976. In 1976, they released both Jailbreak and the Johnny the Fox album. And also in that period, they would put out singles that weren't on the album. which will keep collectors chasing after those quite a while.
I mean, that was kind of standard practice in the 60s and 70s, right? That British acts anyway would release singles that would not appear on the records. And I find that very fascinating. I always kind of have, and it definitely sounds like Thin Lizzy did that as well.
They would put out 45s with nice picture. What do you call it? A picture sleeve,
picture
and
sleeve,
a live
yeah.
album, a live song, typically on the back of whatever single it was. And yeah, those are fun to go after too.
I bet. I got to work on my regular standard Thin Lizzy album collection. I was looking at it. It's a little thin over there. I got a few, but I definitely need to pick it up. That's for sure. And I do have a copy of Live and Dangerous, so I'm proud about that. Well, Joe, this has been great, but there's a story here that you're going to tell that I think will wrap it up and just put the perfect bow on this conversation. So,
in the mid-90s, after Phil died, obviously, John Sykes and Scott Gorham put together a new version of the band that toured a little bit. Well, they toured quite a lot for about 10 years, actually. I think it was the grunge era was tough times for hotshot guitarists from the 70s and 80s. So, and that version of the band toured quite a lot. And then, anyway, so in, let's see what year it was. I have my note here. In about 2011, my family was traveling to Norway. So we're in the Stockholm airport. We've got a couple hours before our plane is gonna take off. So I was looking for breakfast or something. I'm walking through the airport, and there was a point where, kind of at some stairs, there was two groups of people coming together. And walking towards me was a man I first noticed because he was wearing a leather jacket, and it was July. Of course, it was Sweden, but anyway. And as he came closer, I just, at an instinct, I think, I stuck out my hand. I recognized him immediately, stuck out my hand, said, "Scott Gorham, how are you?" And honestly, I think he thought he knew me, or I knew him. And we pulled off to the side, and we had a pretty long 4 or 5 minute conversation about he had just, my son and I had seen earlier that year a version of Thin Lizzy that opened up for Judas Priest. Mm. It was great to hear those, whoever was playing those songs. It was still, you know, those guitarists I followed all those years ago, and Downey, and, you know, hearing those songs live was great with almost any singer. And we talked about that, and he was then on a tour with, he had another band that played Thin Lizzy songs, but went by a different name, and Black Star Riders, they were called. And he kind of wound that down, but they would, they sounded Thin Lizzy-ish, and they would play their own original songs, and then at the end, I never got to see them, but they'd play, you know, two or three Thin Lizzy songs for the encore, and got a pretty big crowd that way. But he's a great guy. He, you know, introduced himself to my wife and my son, who were like, "Who is this guy?" And,
the dad's losing it over.
Exactly. And but it was a great interaction, and he still lives in England, even though he's from Glenwood, California. I think he plays a lot of golf these days, and he's also been very involved in putting together the box sets and remasterings and things like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
As it should be, right? Have somebody that was there and playing on that stuff to work on it and help make sure the quality control is where it needs to be. That's cool. He's an Alice Cooper guy. He likes to play the golf and rock and roll. It's not a usual combination. That's for sure. Well, it says here in our outline that you're headed to Dublin in May. Is that right?
Yes, we're making our first.
That's exciting.
I'm making my first trip ever to Dublin, to Ireland, in May. They started a direct flight from Raleigh, not far from my house. So we looked into it, and we're going. And there are, in addition to the statue and visiting Lynott's grave, which I will do. Yeah, I'm trying not to put too much Thin Lizzy stuff on the itinerary for my wife to put up with, but there'll be at least those things. And there is a room in Dublin, Ireland Rock and Roll Museum that has a room for them too. Yeah, there's a U2 room, a Thin Lizzy room, and a couple others.
That's neat. That sounds.
I think they have an exhibit about the Fontaines going on right now too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Perhaps a patch for the jacket. For the jean jacket, if you can find one to put into the rotation, of course.
I have a tattoo appointment, Patrick, and it will be Thin Lizzy related.
Nice. That's fantastic. Well, maybe we'll get a look at that this summer at Suburbs Fest in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Definitely going to Suburbs Fest. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Excellent. Yep. Outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe, thank you very much. Any closing thoughts as we wrap up this the Thin Lizzy conversation?
I don't. I think, first I got to say thanks to the Rockin' the Suburbs community and all you have done to bring us together as a group. It's really something great to talk about or listen to every single day. And I've really enjoyed it and can't wait to go to my next Suburbs Fest.
It's great to hear.
Yeah, and I appreciate people's attention on Thin Lizzy. Maybe we'll have some conversations about that in Tennessee. And, the only thing I have to say still is death to false metal, Patrick.
There it is. That's the tattoo I'll get in Knoxville. Well, thank you, Joe, so much. And I have a feeling you may be sending some people down a Thin Lizzy wormhole, a rabbit hole here, before Suburbs Fest, so there may be conversations to have when everybody
I hope
there.
So.
That's a good thing.
It's a great band to dig deep into it.
Sure is. And as you were alluding to, so much history and things to get into. It's just a great band to really dive into if you want to. And certainly sounds like I need to put that book on my to-read list. Very much need to do that. All right, folks. Well, with that, if you have any response or any Thin Lizzy stories, probably that won't top Scott's, I don't think, but I would love to hear any interaction you've had or any Thin Lizzy memories. If anybody ever got the chance to see them all those years ago, would love to hear that. You can get in touch with us. We're at Suburbs Pod on all the social media channels, and you can email us rock@suburbspod.com. All right. Until next time, Joe, we will talk to you soon. And on behalf of Jim Linehan, I am Patrick Foster, and we will talk to you guys later.
In this town, see me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. High and low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best to move away. Do you hear what I say from under my breath? Some of us won't survive. See the boys and me mean business, busting out dead or alive. I can hear the hound dogs on my trail. All hell breaks loose, alarm and sirens wail. Like the game, if you lose, go to jail. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak.
And rock and roll never starts on time.